considerations and cross conditions, well, how do you deal with that, or how is it that you can achieve 100% accuracy, or these represent an ERPs, but then kind of individual?
Okay, first of all, these are pretty good ERPs, but they're not, but I think they're pretty representative. These happen to be Terry Harrington, on the crime, Terry Harrington on the alibi. Because they're interesting because it's a real life case. He went to murder, he went to prison for this murder that he was convicted of. It turned out this showed that he had didn't have a record. The record of his brain didn't match the crime, did match the alibi. It was admitted as evidence in the court. The only alleged witness to the crime when confronted with this said, well, yeah, you're right, I made up the whole story because I thought I was going to be convicted. And it looks as though he's going to get out. So these are anecdotally interesting data. These are not atypical. We often get waveforms that are this clean. If somebody said, do you think you can, well, for example, Monica and Gabrielli et al., I think it was Fabiani et al., did a reliability study where they did a whole lot of subjects, a whole lot of P300s, and they said, can we reliably get P300s? Do you reliably get a larger P300 to the beat than the boot? Well, in 100% cases, they did.
They found people who don't show a P300.
Well, I published that.
So it's not the case that, you know, you get 100% P300.
Well, you get darn close, though. I mean, I think Monica and Gabriella would say you get very much closer than when we got some very old folks. We said lack of P300. They had very small P300s. Now, but again, 100%. If you mean, am I accurately reporting what's happened to date? I'm saying, yeah, I'm accurately reporting what's happening to date. If you mean, do I predict that will always happen in the future? I don't predict that.
You say something in here, a fingerprinting that's highly effective and accurate for a specific screening. You may, and then you go on to present it here, the claim that you got 100% accuracy in two different studies. So if people are reading this as being highly accurate, you need look no further than what you gave us and this material.
I agree that it's highly accurate, and it's been highly accurate. And I do make that claim. I don't make the claim it's 100% accurate. I make the claim that we have gotten 100% accurate results in the past, that we can expect highly accurate results in the future. And I think that whether it's done by me or whether it's done by somebody else replicating it, I think they'll find the same thing. Well, Bill Arcon has done a lot of similar work. He's published some. He's analyzed the data, a different algorithm for sorting out the waveforms. It turned out that it wasn't quite as accurate as the algorithm we used, but it was good. It worked. Rosenfeld has done some things that are similar to this. If the implication is more research is needed, I'm going to agree with you on that too.
See, Rosenfeld looks at a more frontal ERP component than you're talking about. So, and it isn't really fair to use their data to support your procedure because they use a different component.
Well, Icona does. Icona uses P300. But yeah, I mean, if the question is do we need more research on this and would it benefit from more research and am I going to be more certain in my conclusions when there's been more research, the answer is yes. But the fact that we've gotten the right answer in 170 cases, I mean, to me that means something. To me that means there's a pretty real phenomenon here. And I didn't, you know, I didn't draw these waveforms. They really do look like that.
Some of them, yes. I just research too, and indeed, it's a very productive paradigm. But when you start turning it around and say, just because I can get this in certain cases, now can I be accurate in classifying the individuals who are telling me the truth or a lie? And if I don't see it, they're clear mouth, they're not going to be a terrorist. I wouldn't say that based on the data we've seen. We don't do lie detecting.
Well,
I'd be more nervous about that kind of person.
Well, first of all, another thing that everybody on this side of the room is going to agree with me on is that this doesn't do lie detection. It has nothing to do with whether lying. I mean, this is what Harrington gets in response to the crime. This is what he gets in response to the alibi. Now, if he had said, I committed the crime and I wasn't there at the alibi, we'd get these exact same results. It has nothing to do with whether they're lying or not. Yeah, it's just, does he recognize it or not? And I think that my colleagues in the ERP community would agree that you, even the ones who don't agree with me about some things, would agree that you can reliably distinguish whether somebody recognizes something or not by using ERPs, especially if you don't just use one item, but you use, say, a dozen items. And in the aggregate, does he have the knowledge that's comprised in this group of a dozen items, or doesn't he?
Well, in the case you know a lot, maybe you can do highly accurate, perhaps. In the case of specific screening for terrorism, let's say, where you're not really sure exactly what training you went through, maybe in Afghanistan or somewhere, but people generally know what presumably terrorists are doing in Afghanistan. It may be harder to pick questions that will be moved out to that report, you know, that you want.
It will be, and we won't get 100% accuracy. Will we get information that informs our decision? I mean, will we know more than just, we know this guy who says he's an Afghani student and he might be a terrorist? I'd say in many cases, we would know more. But again, getting additional useful information and saying that we're sure we have an accurate result are two different questions. I would not claim that this is going to be a perfect thing and that somebody goes through this, they don't recognize anything that we showed them, that we can absolutely trust this guy. But if they say they're an innocent Afghani student and don't know how to field strip an AK-47, it turns out they do, and they know a lot of other details about from the training manuals, which we have copies of, then we would have good reason to think that maybe they're not who they pretend.
The eyewitness literature shows that there's some evidence of false and distorted memories. Will you get a P-300 response on something that you've come to believe or remember but you never actually saw?
Well, the answer is I wish I had a nickel for every time I've been asked that question, and I've answered that I don't know. But the thing is that's not a problem here, because what we do is we don't test them on something that they say is true. If for example, let's say that somebody believes that they were molested by Uncle Jim, we're not going to test Sally, who's now 25 years old, believes she was molested by Uncle Jim when she was 3 and she forgot about it, now she remembers it, and maybe it's distorted, maybe it's false, maybe her psychiatrist convinced her of it, maybe, who knows. We wouldn't go test her because we know what her story is and she knows what it is. And we would find, yeah, that information there. We don't know how it got there. We'd go test Uncle Jim, and if he had never been told the details, he said, no, I didn't do anything, whatever it is I'm accused of, I don't know what it is, and it turned out that he did, that would be useful. If it turned out that he did, that would be useful.
Well, but it may make some findings equivocal if sort of the information's there, but if it turned out it didn't matter how it got there.
Well, in her case,
but the same thing, you know, if the information is there that I do in fact respond to the field manual for stripping AK-47, the value of that finding might depend on how the information got there.
It absolutely would. And before we read,
if I watched a lot of movies, I know how to operate a lot of equipment that I've never actually touched.
Well, okay, that comes down to the application. What you need to do is before you run the test, I wouldn't just test you on whether you know how to field strip an AK-47. I mean, maybe you're a gun enthusiast and you do. Before we run the test, we would say, do you know any of these items?
Okay, countermeasure, you'd say, yeah.
Well, that was actually...
Yes, here's what the training camp looks like. Yes.
Well, the thing is, okay, but then again, you run into some statistics. Yeah. Let's say you have 30 items, and each one of those is a 1 in 3 choice, and it just happens that on each of 30 items, the one that happens to be the correct item, there's some reason that this guy knows it. Well, you do the math. That's a statistically very unlikely result.
We're
that's
not
going
to attack you. We're a little worried about overstating the claims. This technique may be very promising and so on, and we'll see if the evidence will finish. But, so we're not trying to, you know, set up here to attack your browser.
Thank you.
We are a little worried about how, you know, how well we think we actually are working, and that's the question of that here. So, sorry.
Well, kind of new, and there's a lot of interesting research questions that you could actually follow up on, just on questions that we've asked. You know, in planning memories and seeing what that happened. I mean, there's just many, many things you could do. And from a practical point of view, it would seem like it would be hard to think up 20 questions about anything. If only, you know, our intelligence about Afghani training camps would have to be way better than what I think it is, and for us to have 20 secret things about it.
I bet I could get 200 out of their training manual easily. I mean, there are a lot of details in any. I mean, Drew, we easily could have gotten 200 about FBI training. Now we know about.
Well, you know more about our FBI than you do about Osama bin Laden's training.
Yeah, but if we have their training manuals, we know.
Mark gets the last question.
All right. I guess I'd like you to put your business a little in context. You sell a service. You sell an instrument. Exactly what does your company do?
That's a good question. what my company does to date has been largely to do a bunch of really interesting research and a bunch of pro bono applications of this technology. And we hope in sometime we'll become
widely used and useful, and maybe it'll even be a successful business proposition, although I couldn't testify to that.
But how would, what would you sell?
We would sell, well, a service rather than a box, and the reason is quality control. Yeah.
That was the last question.
Yeah.
The committee has been going for 10 hours, and in 15 minutes begins its working dinner. And so I'd like to thank our guests, and if you have more stuff, and in particular if you have studies that we haven't got, we'd love to have copies.
All right, you'll have them.
And we most assuredly thank you all.
But not too much.
I was in just one of his instructors. I hate to admit
it. The committee can leave the materials at the table. Pepper, we're here tomorrow. We can bring stuff.
Thank you.